We're continuing chapter 28 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Remember, Hermione was having her Rita Skeeter problem.
Mm-hmm.
Hate mail continued to arrive for Hermione over the following week, and although she followed Hagrid's advice and stopped opening it, several of her ill-wishers sent howlers which exploded at the Gryffindor table and shrieked insults at her for the whole hall to hear. Even those people who didn't read Witch Weekly knew all about the supposed Harry Crumb Hermione triangle now. Harry was getting sick of telling people that Hermione wasn't his girlfriend. "It'll die down, though," he told Hermione, "if we just ignore it. People will get bored with that stuff. I want to know how she's listening into private conversations when she's supposed to be banned from the grounds," said Hermione angrily. Hermione hung back in their next Defense Against the Dark Arts lesson to ask Professor Moody something. The rest of the class was very eager to leave, though. Moody had given them such a rigorous test of hex deflection that many of them were nursing small injuries. Harry had a bad case of twitchy ears. He had to hold his hands clamped over them as he walked away from the class. "Well, Rita's definitely not using an invisibility cloak," Hermione panted 5 minutes later, catching up to Harry and Ron in the entrance hall, and pulling Harry's hand away from one of his wiggling ears so he could hear her. "Moody says he didn't see her anywhere near the judges' table at the second task, or anywhere near the lake. "Hermione, is there any point in telling you to drop this?" said Ron. "No," said Hermione stubbornly. "I want to know how she heard me talking to Victor, and how she found out about Hagrid's mum." "Maybe she had you bugged," said Harry. "Bugged," said Ron blankly. "What, put fleas on her or something?" It's funny that Ron's closest to the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Harry started explaining about hidden microphones and recording equipment. Ron was fascinated, but Hermione interrupted them. "Are you two ever going to read Hogwarts history?" "What's the point?" said Ron. "You know by heart. We can just ask you." "All those substitutes for magic muggles use, electricity, computers, and radar, all those things, they all go haywire around Hogwarts. There's too much magic in the air." "No, Rita's using magic to eavesdrop. She must be. If I could just find out what..." "Ooh, if it's illegal, I'll have her." Man, that whole thing about how electricity doesn't work. Stop. You want this on the recording?
You tried to move your nipple away.
You want this?
Amazing. Try it again.
No.
I'm going to touch it. You can move it.
What do you mean?
Watch. Yeah, see, like that.
You want this on the recording?
Yes.
So mean to me. No, stop. Okay, I'm going to be very manly. I'm not going to laugh. I'm just going to keep reading. "Haven't we got enough to worry about, Ron?" I was fine for a moment because I said, you know, I desensitized to it. "Haven't we got enough to worry about?" Ron asked her.
It wasn't
too. Oh, okay. "Do we have to start a vendetta against Rita Skeeter as well?" "I'm not asking you to help," Hermione snapped. "I'll do it on my own." She marched back up the marble staircase without a backwards glance. Harry was quite sure she was going to the library. "What's the betting she comes back with a box of I Hate Rita Skeeter badges?" said Ron. Hermione, however, did not ask Harry and Ron to help her pursue vengeance against Rita Skeeter, for which they were both grateful because their workload was mounting ever higher in the days before the Easter holidays. Harry frankly marveled at the fact that Hermione could research magical methods of eavesdropping as well as everything else they had to do. He was working flat out just to get through their homework, though he made a point of sending regular food packages up to the cave in the mountain for Sirius. After last summer, Harry had not forgotten what it felt like to be continually hungry. He enclosed notes to Sirius, telling him that nothing out of the ordinary happened, that they were still waiting for an answer from Percy. Hedwig didn't return until the end of the Easter holidays. Percy's letter was enclosed in a package of Easter eggs that Mrs. Weasley had sent. Both Harry's and Ron's were the size of dragon eggs, and full of homemade toffee. Hermione's, however, was smaller than a chicken egg. Her face fell when she saw it. "Your mom doesn't read Witch Weekly, by any chance, does she, Ron?" she asked quietly. "Yeah," said Ron, whose mouth was full of toffee. "Gets it for the recipes." Hermione looked sadly at her tiny egg. I don't get that.
Mrs. Weasley thinks that Hermione's a bitch because she read Witch Weekly because Mrs. Weasley's a fucking idiot.
Oh, I thought there was some joke. I couldn't remember something about eggs. Okay. That's funny.
No, it's mean.
It's mean, yeah. Well, the whole wizarding world is bizarre, you know?
And Mrs. Weasley should know better.
Right.
Are you serious? Like, she's such a stupid bitch if she doesn't know.
Right.
Ugh. Whatever, read.
"Don't you want to see what Percy's written?" Harry asked her hastily. Percy's letter was short and irritated. "As I am constantly telling the Daily Prophet, Mr. Crouch is taking a well-deserved break. He is sending in regular owls with instructions. No, I haven't actually seen him, but I think I can be trusted to know my own superior's handwriting. I have quite enough to do at this moment without trying to quash these ridiculous rumors. Please don't bother me again unless it's something important. Happy Easter." He sounds happy.
No kidding.
The start of the summer term would normally have meant that Harry was training hard for the last Quidditch match of the season. This year, however, it was the third and final task in the Triwizard Tournament for which he needed to prepare, but he still didn't know what he would have to do. Finally, in the last weekend of May, Professor McGonagall held him back in Transfiguration. "You're to go down to the Quidditch field tonight at 9 o'clock, Potter," she told him. "Mr. Bagman will be there to tell the champions about the third task." So, at 8:30 that night, Harry left Ron and Hermione in Gryffindor Tower and went downstairs. As he crossed the entrance hall, Cedric came up from the Hufflepuff common room. "What do you reckon it's going to be?" he asked Harry, as they went together down the stone steps out into the cloudy night. "Fleur keeps going on about underground tunnels. She reckons we've got to find treasure." "That won't be too bad," said Harry, thinking he would simply ask Hagrid for a Niffler to do the job for him. They walked down the dark lawn to the Quidditch Stadium, turned through a gap in the stands, and walked out onto the field. "What have they done to it?" Cedric said indignantly, stopping dead. The Quidditch field was no longer smooth and flat. It looked as though somebody had been building long, low walls all over it that twisted and crisscrossed in every direction. "They're hedges," said Harry, bending to examine the nearest one. "Hello there," called a cheery voice. Ludo Bagman was standing in the middle of the field with Crumb and Fleur. Harry and Cedric made their way toward them, climbing over the hedges. Fleur beamed at Harry as he came nearer. Her attitude toward him had changed completely since he had saved her sister from the lake. "Well, what do you think?" said Bagman happily as Harry and Cedric climbed over the last hedge. "Growing nicely, aren't they? Give them a month, and Hagrid will have them 20 feet high. Don't worry." He added, grinning, spotting the less than happy expressions on Cedric's Harry and Cedric's faces. "You'll have your Quidditch field back to normal once the task is over. Now I imagine you can guess what we're making here." No one spoke for a moment, and then, "Maze," grunted Crumb. "That's right," said Bagman. "A maze. The third task's really very straightforward. The Triwizard Cup will be placed in the center of the maze. The first champion to touch it will receive full marks."
"We simply have to get through the maze," said Fleur.
"There will be obstacles," said Bagman happily, bouncing on the balls of his feet. "Hagrid is providing a number of creatures. There will be spells that must be broken, all sorts of things that you know. Now the champions who are leading on points will get a head start into the maze." Bagman grinned at Harry and Cedric. "Then Mr. Crumb will enter, then Miss Delacour. But you'll all be in with a fighting chance, depending on how well you get past the obstacles. Should be fun, eh?" Harry, who knew only too well the kind of creatures that Hagrid is likely to provide for this event, thought it was unlikely that it would be any fun at all. However, he politely nodded like the other champions. "Very well, if you haven't got any questions, we'll go back up to the castle, shall we? It's a bit chilly." Bagman hurried alongside Harry as they began to wend their way out of the growing maze. Harry had the feeling that Bagman was going to start offering him help again, but just then, Crumb tapped Harry on the shoulder. "Could I have a word?"
That's more Fleur.
Right.
Could I have a word?
Could I have a word? Could I have a word? Could I have a word?
That's good. Whatever.
Yeah, all right, said Harry, looking surprised. Will you walk with me?
Now you're talking, yeah. Blur. Will you walk with me?
Will you walk with me? Good. Okay, said Harry curiously. Bagman looked slightly perturbed. I'll wait for you, Harry, shall I? No, it's okay, Mr. Bagman, said Harry, suppressing a smile. I think I can find the castle on my own, thanks. Harry and Crumb left the stadium together, but Crumb did not set a course for the Durmstrang ship. Instead, he walked toward the forest. What are we going this way for? Said Harry as they passed Hagrid's cabin and the illuminated Beauxbatons carriage. Don't want to be overheard, said Crumb shortly. When at last they had reached a quiet stretch of ground a short way from the Beauxbatons' horse's paddock, Crumb stopped in the shade of the trees and turned to face Harry. I want to know, he said, glowering, what there is between you and Hermione. Harry, who from Crumb's secretive manner had expected something much more serious than this, stared up to Crumb in amazement. Nothing, he said. But Crumb glowered at him, and Harry, somehow struck anew by how tall Crumb was, elaborated. We're friends. She's not my girlfriend, and she never has been. It's just that Skeeter woman making things up. Hermione talks about you very often, said Crumb, looking suspiciously at Harry. Yeah, said Harry, because we're friends. He couldn't quite believe he was having this conversation with Victor Crumb, the famous international Quidditch player. It was as though the 18-year-old Crumb thought he, Harry, was an equal, a real rival. You have not? No, said Harry very firmly. Crumb looked slightly happier. Then he stared at Harry for a few seconds. You fly very well. I was watching. It's the first task. Thanks, said Harry, grinning broadly and suddenly feeling much taller himself. I saw you at the World Cup. You were But then, something moved behind Crumb in the trees, and Harry, who had some experience of the sort of thing that lurked in forests, instinctively grabbed Crumb's arm and pulled him around. What is it? Harry shook his head, staring at the place where he'd seen movement. He slipped his hands inside his robes, reaching for his wand. Suddenly, a man staggered out from behind the tall oak. For a moment, Harry didn't recognize him, and then he realized it was Mr. Crouch.
Oh my god.
He looked as though he'd been traveling for days. The knees of his robes were ripped and bloody. His face scratched. He was unshaven and gray with exhaustion. His neat mustache and hair were both in need of a wash and a trim. His strange appearance, however, was nothing to the way he was behaving. Muttering and gesticulating, Mr. Crouch appeared to be talking to someone that he alone could see. He reminded Harry vividly of an old tramp he had seen once when shopping out with the Dursleys. That man, too, had been conversing wildly with thin air. Aunt Petunia had seized Dudley's hand and pulled him across the road to avoid him. Uncle Vernon had then treated the family to a long rant about what he would like to do with beggars and vagrants. Vagrants. Wasn't he a judge? Said Crumb, staring at Mr. Crouch. Isn't he with your ministry? Harry nodded, hesitated for a moment, then walked slowly toward Mr. Crouch, who did not look at him but continued to talk to a tree nearby. When you've done that, Weatherby, send an owl to Dumbledore confirming the number of Durmstrang students who will be attending the tournament. Karkaroff has just sent word there will be 12. Mr. Crouch, said Harry cautiously. And then send another owl to Madame Maxime because she might want to round the number of, might want to up the number of students she's bringing. Now that Karkaroff's made it around a dozen, do that, Weatherby, will you? Mr. Crouch's eyes were bulging. He stood staring at the tree, muttering soundlessly at it. Then he staggered sideways and fell to his knees. Mr. Crouch, said Harry loudly, are you all right?
Clearly not, Harry. Oh my God, what the hell?
Crouch's eyes were rolling in his head. Harry looked around at Crumb, who followed him into the trees, and was looking down at Crouch in alarm. What is wrong with him? No idea, Harry muttered. Listen, you better go and get someone. They should go together and take Crouch with them. Dumbledore, gasped Mr. Crouch. He reached out and seized a handful of Harry's robes, dragging him closer. Those eyes were staring over Harry's head. I need to see Dumbledore. Okay, said Harry. If you get up, Mr. Crouch, we can all go do this. I've done stupid thing, Mr. Crouch breathed. He looked utterly mad. His eyes were rolling and bulging, and a trickle of spittle was sliding down his chin.
Well, go get Dumbledore, Harry. Don't be a fucking prat.
Every word he spoke seemed to cost him terrible effort. Must tell Dumbledore. Get up, Mr. Crouch, said Harry loudly and clearly. Get up, I'll take you to Dumbledore. Mr. Crouch's eyes rolled forward to Harry. Who you? He whispered. I'm a student at the school, said Harry, looking at Crumb for help, but Crumb was hanging back, looking extremely nervous. You're not his? Whispered Crouch, his mouth sagging. No, said Harry, without the faintest idea what Crouch was talking about. Dumbledore's? That's right, said Harry. Crouch was pulling him closer. Harry tried to loosen Crouch's grip on his robes, but he was too powerful. Warn Dumbledore. I'll get Dumbledore if you let go of me, said Harry. Just let go, Mr. Crouch. I'll get him. Thank you, Weatherby. When you have that done, I would like a cup of tea. My wife and son will be arriving shortly. We're attending a concert tonight with Mr. and Mrs. Fudge. Crouch was now talking fluently to a tree again and seemed completely unaware that Harry was there, which surprised Harry so much that he didn't notice that Crouch had released him. Yes, my son recently gained 12 owls. Most satisfactory. Yes, thank you. Yes, very proud indeed. Now, if you'll bring me that memo from the Andoran Minister of Magic, I think I'll have some time to draft a response. He's mad. Oh, sorry, I skipped a line. You stay here, Harry said to Crumb. I'll get Dumbledore. I'll be quicker. I know where his office is. He's mad, said Crumb doubtfully, staring down at Crouch, who was still gabbling to the tree, apparently convinced it was Percy. Just stay with him, said Harry, starting to get up, but his movement seemed to trigger another abrupt change in Mr. Crouch, who seized him hard by the knees and pulled Harry back to the ground. Don't leave me, he whispered, his eyes bulging again. I escape, must warn, must tell. See, Dumbledore, my fault, all my fault. Bertha, dead, all my fault. My son, my fault. Tell Dumbledore, Harry Potter, the Dark Lord, stronger, Harry Potter. I'll get Dumbledore if you let me go, Mr. Crouch, said Harry.
Why is he so fucking stupid? Ugh, make this chapter be over.
He's trying to get out, right? He looked furiously at Crumb. Help me with you, will you?
They need to just carry him to Dumbledore. That's what the problem is. He's being such a stupid. Read the rest.
Looking extremely apprehensive, Crumb moved forward and squatted down next to Mr. Crouch. Just keep him here, said Harry, pulling himself free of Mr. Crouch. I'll be back with Dumbledore. Harry, won't you?
Read faster.
Crumb called after him as Harry sprinted away from the forest and up through the dark grounds. They were deserted. Bagman, Cedric, and Fleur had disappeared. Harry tore up the stone steps, through the oak front doors, and off up the marble staircase toward the second floor.
Read faster.
5 minutes later, he was hurtling towards a stone gargoyle standing halfway along an empty corridor. Lemon drop, he panted at it. This was the password to the hidden staircase to Dumbledore's office, or at least it had been 2 years ago. The password had evidently changed, however, for the stone gargoyle did not spring to life and jump aside, but stood frozen, glaring at Harry malevolently. Move, Harry shouted at it. Come on. But nothing at Hogwarts ever moved just because he shouted at it. He knew it was no good. He looked up and down the dark corridor. Perhaps Dumbledore was in the staff room. He started running as fast as he could toward the staircase. Potter! Harry skidded to a halt and looked around. Snape had just emerged from the hidden staircase, behind the stone gargoyle. The wall was sliding shut behind them, even as he beckoned Harry toward him. What are you doing here, Potter? I need to see Professor Dumbledore, said Harry, running back up the corridor and skidding to a standstill in front of Snape instead. It's Mr. Crouch. He just turned up. He's in the forest. He's asking. What is this rubbish? Said Snape, his black eyes glittering. What are you talking about? Mr. Crouch, Harry shouted, from the Ministry. He's ill or something. He's in the forest. He wants to see Dumbledore. Just give me the password up to... The headmaster is busy, Potter.
Oh my god, seriously?
Said Snape, his thin mouth curling in an unpleasant smile. I've got to tell Dumbledore, Harry yelled. Didn't you hear me, Potter? Harry could tell Snape was thoroughly enjoying himself, denying Harry the thing he wanted when he was so panicky. Look, said Harry angrily, Crouch isn't right. He's out of his mind. He says he wants to warn... The stone wall behind Snape slid open. Dumbledore was standing there, wearing long green robes and a mildly curious expression. Is there a problem? He said, looking between Harry and Snape. Professor, said Harry, sidestepping Snape before Snape could speak. Mr. Crouch is here. He's down in the forest. He wants to speak to you. Harry expected Dumbledore to ask questions, but to his relief, Dumbledore did nothing of the sort. Lead the way, he said promptly, and he swept off the corridor behind Harry, leaving Snape standing next to the gargoyle and looking twice as ugly. What did Mr. Crouch say, Harry? Said Dumbledore as they walked swiftly down the marble staircase. Said he wants to warn you. Said he's just done something terrible. He mentioned his son, and Bertha Jorkins, and Voldemort. Something about Voldemort getting stronger. Indeed, said Dumbledore, and he quickened his pace as they hurried out into the pitch-black darkness. He's not acting normally, said Harry, hurrying beside Dumbledore. He doesn't seem to know where he is. He keeps talking like he thinks Percy Weasley's there, and then he changes. He says he needs to see you. I left him with Victor Crumb. You did, said Dumbledore sharply. And he began to take longer strides still, so that Harry was running to keep up. Do you know if anybody else saw Mr. Crouch? No, said Harry. Crumb and I were talking. Mr. Bagman had just finished telling us about the third task. We stayed behind, and then we saw Mr. Crouch coming out of the forest. Where are they? Said Dumbledore as the Beauxbatons' carriage emerged from the darkness. Over here, said Harry, moving in front of Dumbledore, leading the way through the trees. He couldn't hear Crouch's voice anymore, but he knew where he was going. He hadn't been much past the Beauxbatons' carriage. Somewhere around here. Victor, Harry shouted. No one answered. They were here, Harry said to Dumbledore. They were definitely somewhere around here. Lumos, said Dumbledore, lighting up his wand and holding it up. Its narrow beam traveled from black trunk to black trunk, illuminating the ground, and then it fell upon a pair of feet. Harry and Dumbledore hurried forward. Crumb was sprawled on the forest floor. He seemed to be unconscious. There was no sign at all of Mr. Crouch. Dumbledore bent over Crumb and gently lifted one of his eyeballs. Stunned, he said softly. His half-moon glasses glittered in the wand light as he peered around at the surrounding trees. "Shall I go and get someone?" said Harry. "Madame Pomfrey?" "No," said Dumbledore swiftly. "Stay here." He raised his wand into the air and pointed in the direction of Hagrid's cabin. Harry saw something silvery dart out of it and streak away toward the trees like a ghostly bird. Then Dumbledore bent over Crumb again, pointed his wand at him and muttered, "Nervate." Crumb opened his eyes. He looked dazed. When he saw Dumbledore, he tried to sit up, but Dumbledore put a hand on his shoulder and made him lie still. "He attacked me," Crumb muttered, putting a hand up to his head. "The old man attacked me. I was looking for where Potter had gone, and he attacked me from behind." The sound of thunderous footfalls reached them, and Hagrid came panting into sight with Fang at his heels. He was carrying his crossbow. "Professor Dumbledore," he said, his eyes widening. Harry, what the... Hagrid, I need you to fetch Professor Karkaroff, said Dumbledore. His student has been attacked. When you've done that, kindly alert Professor Moody.
No need, Dumbledore, said a Weasley growl. I'm here.
Moody was limping toward them, leaning on a staff, his wand lit.
Damn leg, he said furiously. Would have been here quicker. What happened? Snape said something about Crouch.
Crouch? Said Hagrid blankly. Karkaroff, please, Hagrid, said Dumbledore sharply. Oh yeah, right you are, Professor, said Hagrid, and he turned and disappeared into the dark trees, Fang trotting after him. I don't know where Barty Crouch is, Dumbledore told Moody, but it is essential that we find him.
I'm on it, growled Moody,
and he pulled up his wand and limped off into the forest. Neither Dumbledore nor Harry spoke again until they heard the unmistakable sounds of Hagrid and Fang returning. Karkaroff was hurrying along behind them. He was wearing his sleek silver furs and looked pale and agitated.
What is this? He cried when he saw Crumb on the ground and Dumbledore and Harry beside him. What's going on?
I was attacked, said Crumb, sitting up now and rubbing his head. Mr. Crouch, or whatever his name.
Crouch attacked you? Crouch attacked you? Is it Triwizard Judge?
Igor, said Dumbledore, but Karkaroff had drawn himself up, clutching his furs around him, looking livid.
Treachery, he bellowed, pointing at Dumbledore. It is a plot. You and your Minister of Magic have lured me here under false pretenses, Dumbledore. This is not an equal competition. First, you try and sneak Potter into the tournament, though he is underage. Now one of your minister friends attempts to put my champion out of action. I smell double dealing and corruption of this whole affair, and you, Dumbledore, you with your talk of closer international wizarding links, of rebuilding old ties, of forgetting old differences, here's what I think of you.
Karkaroff spat upon the ground at Dumbledore's feet. In one swift movement, Hagrid seized the front of Karkaroff's furs, lifted him to the air, and slammed him against a tree nearby.
Apologize, Hagrid snarled, as Karkaroff gasped for breath. What?
It's just bad. Keep reading.
As Karkaroff gasped for breath. Hagrid's massive fist at his throat, his feet dangling in midair.
Hagrid, no, Dumbledore shouted, his eyes flashing.
Hagrid removed the hand pinning Karkaroff to the tree, and Karkaroff slid all the way down the trunk, and slumped in a huddle at its roots. A few twigs and leaves showered upon his head.
Kindly escort Harry back up to the castle, Hagrid, said Dumbledore sharply.
Breathing heavily, Hagrid gave Karkaroff a glowering look.
Maybe I'd better stay here, headmaster.
You will take Harry back to school, Hagrid, Dumbledore repeated firmly. Take him right up to Gryffindor Tower, and Harry, I want you to stay there. Anything you might want to do, any owls you might want to send, they can wait until morning. Do you understand me?
Yes, said Harry, staring at him. How had Dumbledore known that at the very moment he had been thinking about sending Pidwidge in straight to Sirius to tell him what happened?
I'll leave Fang with you, headmaster, Hagrid said, staring menacingly at Karkaroff, who was still sprawled at the foot of the tree, tangled in furs and tree roots. Stay, Fang. Come on, Harry.
They marched in silence past the Beauxbatons carriage and up to the castle.
How dare he, Hagrid growled as they strode past the lake. How dare he accuse Dumbledore? Like Dumbledore would do anything like that. Like Dumbledore wanted you in the tournament in the first place. Worried. I don't know, I've never seen Dumbledore more worried than he's been lately.
And you, Hagrid said suddenly and angrily at Harry, who looked up at him, taken aback. What are you doing, wandering off with Ruddy Crumb? He's from Durmstrang, Harry. Could have jinxed you right there, couldn't you? Hasn't Moody taught you nothing? Imagine him letting you lure him off on your own.
Crumb's all right, said Harry, as they climbed the steps into the entrance hall. He wasn't trying to jinx me, just wanted to talk about Hermione.
I'll be having a few words with her also, said Hagrid grimly, stomping up the stairs. Less you have to do with a lot of these foreigners, happier you'll be. Can't trust any of them.
You were getting along all right with Madame Maxime, said Harry, annoyed. Don't you talk to her about me, said Hagrid, and he looked quite frightening for a moment. I got her number now, trying to get me back in her good books, trying to get me to tell her what's coming in the third task. Ha, can't trust any of them. Hagrid was in such a bad mood. Harry was glad to say goodbye to him in front of the fat lady. He clambered through the portrait hole into the common room and hurried straight for the corner where Ron and Hermione were sitting to tell them what had happened. And that's the end of chapter 28. And next is chapter 29 called The Dream. Do you like that book? It was an exciting chapter. Now it's bedtime. I love you so much, kitten.
Mm-hmm.
You're very sexy.
Say good night to kitty.
Good night, kitten. Sleep well. I love you.